The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. And we've got an exciting message for you today. But for those of you that are aware, Pastor Chris is now on her way back from the Philippines to join us back here again stateside. So you guys are going to be hearing from Pastor Chris in the coming weeks, and that's really exciting. But continue to cover her in your prayers. As we're doing the Great Commission, we're doing what Jesus commanded us to do, which is to go into all nations and make disciples. Now, last week, I discussed about women leadership and leadership in the ministry. And hopefully, last week's message really opened your eyes that God can really use anyone. And it doesn't matter if you're poor or rich, if you're black, white, or if you're a man or you're a woman, you can be used mightily by God. And you can hold leadership positions. If you missed last week's message, I really encourage you to go to our website, sogmi.org, and take a listen to the previous broadcast. It's a really eye-opening thing that talks about why, in fact, women leaders is supported biblically, and that it makes sense why God was able to anoint somebody like Deborah back in the Old Testament as a prophet over Israel. You know, it says in Judges chapter 4 that Deborah, the wife of Lapidoth, was a prophet and was leading Israel at the time, right? So she's married and she's leading Israel, okay? So just because you get married as a woman does not mean that, oh, well, there, your calling's given up, right? Now your job is just to support your husband. No, your greatest calling is to do the things that God has called you to do, right? Your husband or your wife is not your highest calling. That is actually such a perversion of God's intention, because the truth is we have to serve our first husband as the bride of Christ, right? And we have to operate as sons of God. So I really encourage you, if you did not catch last week's message, take a listen, because it should open your eyes how God can use anybody. This is something that we, the church, have to understand, which is that we are not the ones who pick who gets called, right? If you're in a position of leadership, you don't get to pick the person whom God anoints. Because the scripture has shown us time and time again how when man thinks, oh yeah, this is going to be a great leader. Oh yeah, this is going to be somebody that's really going to be used mightily by God. God doesn't pick them, right? Because that's what God says to Samuel. He says, look, men look at outward appearance, but I look at the heart. God doesn't concern himself with all these different systems and standards that we judge each other by. He's able to look past all of it and look at our hearts. And that is such a freeing thing, because it means that those that really yearn for God and are hungry for God, those are the ones who will be used mightily by God. That includes both men and women, right? In the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, right? Old men will dream dreams, young men will see visions, right? All this thing that's coming from the prophet Joel. And then he says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on both men and women. This is the reason why God was able to anoint Deborah as a prophet over the nations, even in the Old Testament. So much more today, guys. So much more today. Now, something that's really interesting. So we are not the ones who will choose who gets anointed, who gets appointed. It is God who anoints. It is God who appoints. You see, in 1 Samuel, when Samuel was first called, he was only a boy. He was only 7 or 8 years old, okay? And what the scripture tells us is that in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. People were not hearing from God. They were not receiving visions. They were not receiving prophetic words. God wasn't appearing to anyone. Now, something we have to understand about the Lord is that if people attune their ear to God, right, if they're listening for God and they're seeking God out, they will find him, right? Jesus says, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. And the scripture also tells us if we draw near to God, that he will draw near to us. So what this means is that in the time of Samuel, if the word of the Lord was rare, people weren't hearing from God. That means the people were not opening their ears to listen to the Lord. They were not making themselves available to God. And this is true even in this day. We get so busy with all kinds of distractions, all kinds of noises, we don't leave room for God to speak to us. In fact, the vast majority of Christians, they only cry out to God and seek God out when they're in trouble. And many times it's because they decided to do their own thing with their own plans rather than asking the Lord. So the majority of Christians, they only start seeking God out when they're in trouble. This should not be the case, my brothers and sisters. We should involve God in our lives daily. Every day we should be waking up and talking to Him. All throughout the day, we should be speaking to the Lord and praying to Him and asking Him. And really, this is an advantage that Christians have uniquely, which is that if you got a problem, you can pray and ask God. If there's some situation at your job that other people can't solve, you can pray and ask God. And this is the kind of example that somebody like Daniel showed us. Because Nebuchadnezzar had all of his advisors, all of his wise men, all of his enchanters, and he had a problem that none of them could solve. But Daniel said, look, I serve a God who reveals mysteries. I serve a God who's the source of all wisdom, and I'm going to seek Him out, and He's going to be able to solve your problem. And Daniel gained this reputation that the spirit of the gods, as the Babylonians have, right? Because they served all these, you know, they worshiped all these different gods. Belshazzar, the spirit of the gods is on you because you're able to solve difficult problems and you're able to solve great mysteries. But every time Daniel said, it's not me, but I serve a God who's the revealer of mysteries. So Daniel understood, if I've got a problem, I can go to God immediately. And the scripture tells us that God filled him and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with all kinds of wisdom and understanding and knowledge, and they were found to be 10 times wiser than all the wise men in Babylon. Imagine being seen as 10 times wiser and smarter than the smartest people in the nation. That's what God instilled Daniel with, and we can do that in this day. So we should be opening our ears to hear from the Lord, because He's going to make you look smarter than you actually are, right? Think about when you study the scripture and you get a new revelation, and it's so simple, but so profound. Oh my gosh, I've read this time and time and time again, and I'm learning new things from it, right? It's the Holy Spirit who reveals these things to you. Well, that kind of wisdom and revelation, you can bring with you into your whole life. And then when you release it, that word that the Lord's given you, it's going to explode in other people's spirit. And they're going to think, oh my gosh, that's so profound and so simple. How did you see this? And you'll be able to point the way to Christ. This includes in our businesses. This includes in our personal relationships. We have to involve God in every area of our life. Okay, so at the time when Samuel was just a boy, the word of the Lord was rare. So people, maybe they were too concerned with their own things. They were living their own life, okay? Not bothering to seek the Lord out, not making themselves available to God. But God found somebody who would listen to him, somebody with open ears. And this was this young little 8-year-old Samuel, right? And the scripture tells us Samuel's just sleeping in his bed. And then he hears this voice, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel, not knowing what was going on, he goes to his caretaker, Eli. And he says, you know, did you call me? What is it that you want? You want some water? You want a snack? Right? And Eli's like, what are you doing? It's late at night. Go back to sleep. I'm trying to sleep here. Why are you bugging me? Right? And this happens 2 or 3 times. Samuel, Samuel. And he keeps going back to Eli until Eli realizes, oh, the Lord is speaking to Samuel. So he tells Samuel, next time you hear this voice, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Okay? And that's exactly what Samuel did. And the Lord gave Samuel, amazingly, a word regarding his own caretaker, Eli. Because Eli, unfortunately, his sons were corrupt and wicked and sinful. The scripture tells us that Eli's sons, they served in the temple of the Lord. and they would steal from the offering of God. They would take women in there and sleep with them and do all kinds of corrupt and wicked things. So they had a bad reputation. But Eli didn't take care to discipline them or remove them from their post or do anything about it, right? Because Eli came up to them and says, hey, don't do that, right? Because you're not just sinning against God, you're sinning against men. Why are you doing these things? They're bad. Stop doing that, right? But then they'd go back into the temple, keep stealing from the offering, keep sleeping with women in the temple, all of these things that were detestable to the Lord. Now, you have to understand that Eli was the high priest at the time, which means he had the authority to remove his sons from their position, right? He could have said, you're not going to live this life of sin serving in the temple, right? And he could have removed them from a post. You need to find a different job, right? If you're going to live like this, you're not going to serve in the temple. You're going to find a different job out there in the world. But instead, Eli just said, no, don't do that, and then went about his day. And what the Lord says about Eli is the following, and this is in 1 Samuel chapter 2. He says, why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribe for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than me? This is a very important thing, because what does this mean? If we honor our own family members above God, they become an idol in our lives. And the Lord tells us, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel? Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that the members of your family would minister before me forever. But now declares the Lord, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained. Now, this is really interesting, because what the Lord says here is that Eli is despising me. He's showing me disdain by not removing his sons from the position, not dealing with this wickedness that he allowed in his own family to infiltrate the ministry, to infiltrate the church. This is something that as leaders, and really all Christians, we are called to do, which is that we really have to honor God above all else. If you're in any position of leadership, you have to treat the position the Lord has given you as holy, which means we cannot enable wickedness even in our own families. We have to honor God first. And Eli didn't do this. Then he talks about how the Levites, they're going to continue serving in my temple, but your family line is going to be cut short, and not a single person from your family line after you is going to serve in my temple. That's what the Lord said. So Eli's sin in showing God disdain by honoring his sons had reaching effects across the generations. Now, what happens is when the Lord speaks to Samuel, and Samuel says, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. The Lord says the following to Samuel. He says, see, and this is in chapter 3, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. What does that mean? Their ears are perking up. What happened? What is this? Oh, tell me, what happened, right? Something that everyone's going to tune their ear to. And he says, at that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke about his family from beginning to end. For I told him I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. So Samuel laid down in the morning until he opened the doors to the house of the Lord, but he was afraid of the vision to tell. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. And that's understandable. Imagine you're an 8-year-old boy, and the Lord spoke something like this about your own caretaker, right? He's been serving Eli and helping him out. And now the Lord's given this prophetic word to Samuel, a young boy, regarding Eli. And so Samuel was afraid. He didn't want to tell Eli, right? He's afraid of what Eli might think or say. And Eli has to kind of pull it out of him. He's like, look, tell me what the Lord said. And Samuel finally delivers this word from the Lord. Now, the reason why I bring up this story is because in that generation, amongst all the adults, the Lord couldn't find somebody who would hear from him amongst the Israelites. And so he found this 8-year-old boy. And now Eli, the high priest, is getting a rebuke from the Lord from an 8-year-old. Imagine that, right? And unfortunately, the sad thing about Eli is, like, Eli just resigns himself to it. He says, well, he's God, he can do whatever he wants. But the truth is that if Eli really had a heart after God, he would have torn his robes and repented before the Lord and tried to make things right. Instead, he just says, okay, well, what happened happens, right? This passive attitude that he treated his own sons with, which is like, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm not going to do anything to stop you, but don't do it, right? So yeah, okay, well, the Lord's going to do what he's going to do. But this is important for us to understand in this day, because if we, the church in this generation, don't decide, I'm going to obey God today. I'm going to begin doing the Great Commission today. I'm going to carry out the destiny that God has for me. If we don't start doing it, we might see the children of our own generation, right? The young people begin to pass us by. I don't know if you guys have ever gone skiing before, but it's really funny because when you first start skiing, man, you're really struggling. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you might be on the bunny trail or something and you're just kind of barely keeping it together. And then you look to your right or to your left, and you got these like 5-year-olds and 7-year-olds zip, 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 just zoom right past you with no fear. And you just, oh my, and you look at that and you're like, oh my gosh, they're making a fool out of me, right? But you have to understand is that if we don't start obeying God now in the spiritual realm, that's what's going to start happening to you. You're going to see young people that just barely Christians, and they're going to start zipping right past you. Maybe you've been in the ministry for 20 years, 30 years, or 100 years. Right? But have you been seeking the Lord out, or have you just been doing your routine? Have you really been chasing after what the Lord has been showing you, or have you just been deciding, well, you know, when it happens, happens, the Lord's going to do his thing? We need to be hungry for the Lord. We need to be hungry after what God has for us, because if not, he's going to have to go to the next generation. And it's really up to us, because it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. Genesis tells us that Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born, and his wife Sarah was 90 years old, right? And I know what you're thinking, no thank you. Some of you might be thinking, no thank you, no thank you, I'm over that, right? But you have to understand, it's not too late for you to obey God. And Samuel was just 7 or 8 years old when the Lord called him. So it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. It doesn't matter if you're a man or you're a woman. Because God called Deborah and made her leader over Israel. All that matters is that, are you willing and eager to seek the Lord out? And when you find him, are you going to obey him? That is the determining factor for leadership in the body of Christ. All the other things don't matter. It doesn't matter your connections, what training you have, how eloquently you speak, this or that. Remember, Moses was saying, I don't know how to talk. And the Lord said, I will teach you what to say. I'm going to put my words in your mouth. So it doesn't matter if somebody's more charismatic than you. If you obey the Lord, then you will be used mightily by him. And we have to decide in this day to obey God and seek him out, because the fate of this nation depends on it. And the future generations depend on it, because we have to decide, do we want to leave all these problems for the next generations to clean up, or do we want to do something about it? The culture here in America has been deprived of the light of Christ because the church has not been active the way it needs to be active. And that's changing in this day. Amen. And remember this as well. So now that you know it doesn't matter where you come from or who you are to be used mightily by God, when you begin stepping into your destiny, you have to look at others the same way. Remember that nobody would have picked you, but God did. So when the Lord sends people to you to be discipled that maybe don't look the way that you imagine good Christian leaders should look like, remember this, that, hey, you didn't look like it either when the Lord called you. We have to look at people the same way God sees them, which is that there's all these lost souls. They don't know their right hand from their left. They don't know God. So how can they know how to live like God, right? So they're lost. They need to know the light. And you have to understand, there's many people even today that are doing wicked things that don't know that what they're doing is wrong. Remember formerly Saul, who became Paul. He was so intent on persecuting Christians, right? He got letters from the high priest and he was going to go in and start jailing Christians and persecuting him. But Jesus met him on the road and he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, the Lord, who you're persecuting.
Paul didn't even know that he was going against the will of God before he became saved. But God saw his heart, that he intended to do good, but the things that he knew were wrong.
So Saul, at the time, right, he's going in with intention to harm Christians because he thinks this is the will of the Lord outlined by the law, right? They're going against our customs, our ways of belief. And God just goes in and completely changes his worldview, right? He's struck him with blindness and all of these things. And the Lord calls another apostle by the name of Ananias. And the Lord says to him in Acts chapter 9, verse 11, and he says, get ready and go to Straight Street, and at the house of Judas, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying, and in the vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come in and place his hands on him so that he may see again. Right? You're going to go pray healing for this guy. And Ananias says, Lord, many people have told me about this man and about the terrible things he has done to your people in Jerusalem. He has come to Damascus with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who worship you. Right? So understand, Ananias was not a fan of Paul. He didn't agree with him. And he saw him as an enemy, but the Lord didn't, because the Lord knew what was in Saul's heart. So the Lord said to him, go, because I have chosen him to serve me, to make my name known to Gentiles and kings and to the people of Israel, and I myself will show him all that he must suffer for my sake. So Ananias went and entered the house where Saul was and placed his hands on him. Brother Saul, he said, the Lord has sent me, Jesus himself, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here. He sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. At once, something like fish scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he was able to see again. He stood up and was baptized, and after he had eaten, his strength came back. In this day, we have to look at the people the way God sees them. That means that even if somebody's on the other side of the political aisle, even if somebody, maybe they're even persecuting Christians. But you have to understand, in the world, they don't know their right from their left. All they know is the world system. All they know is godlessness. Many of them are lost souls that need an encounter with Jesus. We have to remember that we do not wage war against other people. We're waging a war against principalities, forces of darkness, tearing down of strongholds. We have to see things in the spiritual realm. Which means if when the move of God comes here to America, maybe there'll be people that maybe you regarded as an enemy or an adversary in the past that were, maybe they were on the other side of the political aisle. Maybe they weren't a fan of Christians, and maybe they were trying to enact laws against Christians. But the Lord desires that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of Christ. When they have an encounter with God, some of those people will turn and begin serving the Lord far more fervently than they served in their previous life, just like the conversion that happened between Saul and Paul. Because the Lord saw what was in Saul's heart, and he saw that he thinks he's doing right, but I'm going to show him what it really means to live the right way. So we, and I'm just going to reiterate this again, we are not the ones who choose who gets appointed and anointed. It is the Lord. And many ministries position themselves in this way where they try to fashion a form of like dynasty, where I am now grooming my son to take over the ministry and they're going to do this and they're going to do that. But the truth is, in the end, it's up to God. We don't get to pick. You know, we can prepare our children and teach them in the ways of God, but if they're not going to serve the Lord like Eli's sons, then we can't do anything about it. We can try to force them in the leadership position, but unless God is the one who appoints them and anoints them, then they are not going to be used mightily by God. So there are no special classes of people in the body of Christ. We're all one body, and we all serve the same God. It's really just the only thing that limits us is our measure of faith and obedience to God. And really, that's a freeing and encouraging thing. So I encourage you in this day, begin obeying God, have faith in him, and begin to do the things that he's called you to do. Because if not, he's going to have to find somebody else. But choose this day that you're going to serve the Lord. Amen. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in again. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Until next time, God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Thank you.